Hey, this is Chris. Hope you're doing well, and welcome to Popcorn Finance, the show where we discuss finance and about the time it takes to make a bag of popcorn. Last week, Lindsay was on the podcast. Lindsay is a financial therapist and host of the Mind Money Balance podcast, and she really shed some light on why so many therapists don't accept health insurance, which I'm sure is a question that many of you have had. It was just really eye-opening for me. I didn't know a lot of things that she brought up, so I recommend you go back and listen to episode 430 if you haven't already. But today, as promised, Lindsay is back to share some tips on how you can make therapy a little more affordable. What options are there out there for someone who's like, I would really love to go to therapy? I've talked to myself and I said, you know what? I think this is good for me. I need to go move forward, but I can't really afford maybe $150 a session.
Lots of options. So because I don't take insurance as a therapist, I still provide my clients with a receipt called a super bill that has all of the required information that an insurance provider would need to reimburse my client for our work together. So to use made up numbers, let's say I charge $100 for a session and my client has an insurance that I don't take that would pay $80 per session. I give my client a super bill. They send that super bill to their insurance provider, and then hopefully the insurance provider will cut them a check and reimburse them the $80 that they would have paid me if I was in network. If your eyes are kind of glazing over right now and you're like, those are words that I don't understand, the great thing is there are other startups I'm not associated with or endorsing these that kind of do that middle work for you. One is called Mentaya. It's $8 at the time of this recording per claim. And the way that it works is you pay your therapist, you get that bill, and you basically like click a button and Mentaya takes care of it all. They gently nudge your insurance provider if they haven't paid you or if they haven't opened that claim in 30 days, and they help organize and streamline that process. So there are different startups that are helping to streamline that process, but don't assume that just because your therapist doesn't take insurance, that your insurance won't help pay or reimburse for part of the therapy services. So get reimbursed, even if it's partial reimbursement, whenever possible.
Okay, well, thank you for this because, okay, I've gone to therapists and they've given me the super bill and I'm like, I don't know what you expect me to do with this. And I've never followed through. I was like, well, you know, in my mind, I already budgeted to pay for the therapy session. So I'll just sit this here because it was kind of confusing. And I was just like, I don't have the time to dig into this right now.
It is super confusing. You're not alone.
Okay, so you said Mentaya is the name of the company?
Yes, MENTAYA, Mentaya.
Okay. Oh, thank you. I had no idea that even existed, that there are services out there that would help you with this.
Yes. The next one is employee assistance programs. So a lot of us think about employee assistance programs as, you know, temporary assistance if, for example, you had something going on at home and it was impacting your work, your boss might say like, hey, we have this employee assistance program. You might want to go talk to this person while you cope with everything at work. But what so many people don't know is that most of us who are employed by somebody else and have access to an employee assistant program, usually that means you get a handful of free therapy sessions covered by your employer. And they might not be able to do long-term therapy, but they're great for kind of these short-term stressors, such as I'm having a work conflict or I'm having trouble sleeping at night because I'm so stressed. Usually those employee assistance programs will cover anywhere between 2 and 10 sessions with a licensed counselor. So that's another option if you're like, you know, I don't really necessarily need to dig into like the entirety of my life and all my childhood trauma, but I do want some help just showing up at work, being able to kind of healthily compartmentalize and leave some of my stress at home.
Well, that's a good one. I didn't even know that existed.
The other thing is group therapy is often more affordable than individual therapy. And the reason for that is that you are usually paying a lower out-of-pocket cost because you're splitting the therapist's hourly rate with other people. And I know a lot of people are like, I don't really want group therapy. That's not for me. I totally understand. But if you are in a position where maybe you're kind of like wanting to dip your toe in therapy, I actually love group therapy as a first step because it provides a lot of normalization and validation that you're not alone with your stressors or with the things that are going on in your mind. Usually group therapy groups are small, anywhere from like 4 to maybe 10-ish people. and usually meet once a week. It's more of a regular cadence. But the nice thing there is that your out-of-pocket cost is usually a little bit lower. So that's a way to dial down the cost of therapy. That's something to think about if you're considering it.
Wow, that's a great option. I think my only experience with group therapy is like seeing it in a movie. Like you see like people sitting around in a circle.
You're like, thinking of like the Breakfast Club or something.
Yeah. But I never really considered that. Like, oh, yeah, that would make sense. I found that, like, you know, not in a therapy setting, but just like talking to other people who have gone through things that you've gone through is helpful. It's not some weird, horrible thing that's just me. There's other people who are fighting and dealing with this, like, very similar situation.
Absolutely. One of the most common themes or questions that I have in my financial therapy practice is some version of, am I normal, right? Am I allowed to spend my money this way? Do other people get stressed over this? Am I the only person who is worried about XYZ? We all want to know that the human emotions and thoughts that we have are not out of the ordinary. And so having other people say, yes, I felt that way, I experienced that thing, can just help to provide a level of safety and validation. So yeah, you're not alone.
All right, so we have one more tip, right? We have one more piece of advice for making therapy a little more affordable.
Yeah. So every single therapist has to go through some sort of internship or externship or training. And when they are going through that training, they are supervised by a licensed provider. So you can usually get counseling or therapy, group, family, individual for a much lower rate because you're seeing a student. And again, they're being supervised and they need their hours. A great way to find a therapist who's in training is to look for schools near you. The nice thing now with teletherapy is you can do this via teletherapy as well, but you can Google counseling schools, schools of social work, psychology schools near me, and then you can see if any of them have an internship program where you might be able to get therapy through their interns at a lower rate.
If someone's still in training, we can say like they're still, you know, they're an intern, they're not fully working on their own. What if someone feels uncomfortable? Like, oh, I don't know. Like, can I do, is it okay? Is it safe? Is this like the right person to go see if they're still kind of figuring all this out?
Mm-hmm. So a few things that I would say is that you can also advocate for yourself if you're going the internship route. Usually they have something called an intake coordinator. And on that phone call, they're gathering a little bit of information about you and what you do and what you're stressed out about and what you're seeking therapy for. In that intake, you can specifically ask for a student who was toward the end of their training. Okay. That is a way to do it. The other option too is that you can always ask for another therapist. You can, again, call that intake line or that intake coordinator and ask to be switched. I think it's really important to note that nothing in the therapy world can be done without consent. Usually what happens, speaking from my own experience, is in the intake, it will be the person who's in the internship and their supervisor will literally be sitting next to them. And the supervisor will say something like, my job today is to observe Lindsay. And that's what I'm here to do. And I'm here to provide support for you all if you have questions about what is coming up with Lindsay. So usually the supervisor will be in that very first session. And then after that, everything is completely private. The benefit of the therapist in training having a supervisor is they can then say to their therapist, hey, I was working with this 13-year-old client today. I got stuck when they were talking about how angry they get at school. Could you give me some advice on how to approach this? So you almost have kind of two people helping. So that's another way to think of it. And of course, if you're like, I just want to wait until somebody's done with training, by all means, listen to your intuition, listen to your gut, and feel free to go a different route.
I love these tips. Thank you so much for really breaking this down. Before we get out of here, where can people go if they want to learn more about what you do as a financial therapist, catch your podcast? Where should people go?
Yes, my business is called Mind Money Balance. You can find me wherever you want, whether that's on my website, YouTube, Instagram, my podcast, however you'd like to take in your media, you can find me. But yeah, I'm at Mind Money Balance and I have a free quiz to learn a little bit more about your unique relationship with money. If you go to mindmoneybalance.com/quiz, that's a fun way to kind of dip your toe in the water of what your relationship with money might be like.
Thank you so much. And yeah, I'll put all that in the show notes so that way people can go connect with you. And again, it's always a pleasure having you on the podcast.
Thanks, Chris. So special kicking off the year this way.
If you have a question or a topic that you want me to cover on a future episode, please let me know. You can reach out to me by sending me an email to questions@popcornfinance.com or on social media. I am Popcorn Finance Podcast on Instagram and just regular old Popcorn Finance on TikTok. As always, I appreciate you joining me here for yet another bag of popcorn. Hope you have an amazing rest of your week, and I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, boy, keep it popping like Mary Poppins.